God is like that father in the parable. He's looking for you. God forgives us of the past. He will never bring up our sin again. Never too late to turn to God. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Revelation. I'm so glad you've joined me today so that we can study the Word of God together. Today, we're starting a new teaching series, and I know it's going to bless you in a powerful way. Today, our series is called P-R-A-Y, Pray. Do you know what that means? Well, P-R-A-Y, Pray, means powerful results await you when you pray. Amen. I know it's going to be a great time of insight and blessing, for you see, I'm convinced that God can do wonders through prayer. But if we're honest today, we might all acknowledge that sometimes prayer confuses us. Sometimes we wonder, is there any way to accelerate answers in prayer? We like to pray, but we don't know what really makes prayer effective. And so this series is going to help to unlock those secrets. You see, there's no doubt we believe in prayer. Millions of people pray. We have great zeal in prayer. We are willing to pay the price to pray and fast. Some of us even pray all night. We intend to succeed, but we're missing one key ingredient when we pray. We're not following the pattern laid out by God Himself. You see, God loves our zeal for prayer. He appreciates when we pray, but God is puzzled as to why we refuse to follow His guidelines that He gave us in His Word. His Word teaches us how to have effective prayer, and so we need to discover what those secrets are. The Word of God reveals to us what God wants us to do to pray effectively. Are you ready to learn what some of those secrets are? We're going to study the Word of God to discover today the secrets of the secret place. And as we begin this series, I know your prayer life is going to be revived and changed. So let's learn from Jesus today as He teaches us three secrets from the secret place. Our text is found in Matthew chapter 6, 5 and 6. It's there on the screen, so let's read it out loud together. Are you ready? Go. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself and shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word to your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the first thing we can easily notice about Jesus' instruction in prayer is this. There is a right way to pray and a wrong way to pray. You may think that any prayers will get to God, but that's not the case. There's prayer that gets through and prayer that doesn't. There's prayer that receives powerful results and some prayers that don't go beyond the ceiling. So how do we know the difference? Jesus makes it plain. It's not good enough to just pray. You have to pray effectively to get results. So here's our first secret today. You've got to develop a righteous motive when you pray. Now listen to what Jesus said. He said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. Jesus begins His training for us in prayer by talking to us about our motives, our reasons for praying. And this is where I believe millions of people are making their biggest mistake. Just like the hypocrites, we pray for the wrong reasons. We pray self-centered prayers just to get something from God rather than God-centered prayers. We're praying to build our kingdom instead of God's kingdom. You see, friends, hypocrites are people who appear one way outwardly, but they're very different inwardly. These people love to pray, but their prayer is all about making them look good in the eyes of men. They weren't praying for God's glory. They were praying to gain the applause of others. They were not seeking God's kingdom. They wanted men to think of them as spiritual, mature, gentle, and holy. So they would stand on the street corners and pray long, eloquent prayers with big English. And men were impressed, but God was not. And Jesus said, these hypocrites only get one reward. It's not in heaven, but it's here on earth. In fact, Jesus did not promise that these people would even get an answer to their prayer. We can still see this in the church today. There are many people who come to church and engage in spiritual activities, but it all comes from the motive of gaining a good reputation among other church members. But it's not what we do on the outside that impresses God, but what's on the inside. Our prayers become effective when we develop a righteous motive. I believe Jesus Christ is addressing a fundamental problem that's in the church today. It goes beyond just doing something out of a good appearance, but He's dealing with the heart of the matter. When we pray self-centered prayers to glorify ourselves and for our own advancement, it doesn't bring the results that we want. Listen to Isaiah 42:8. The Bible says, "I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another." So whenever we seek to exalt or glorify ourselves, whether by praying or singing or preaching or doing good works, we're missing the whole purpose of serving Jesus Christ. Listen to what James said in chapter 4, verse 3. "When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." James is telling us plainly that the reason we don't get answers to prayer is because it's all about self. We're just trying to get things from God without giving glory to God. And too many people today treat God like a houseboy. All their prayers are about self. In fact, do you know what the top three prayer requests are? Safety, wealth, and health. We seek everything for ourselves, and the fourth one is similar to that. It's, "I want a life partner." Now listen to me, friends. It's not wrong to pray for those things. We need God to keep us safe. We need Him to heal us. We need money, and we need life partners. And praise God, He's promised to do all of those things for us. Hallelujah. I believe in healing. I believe that His name is a strong tower and that we can run to it and be safe. I believe God is a miracle-working God. He sees your problem and cares about you. If you believe it, say amen. But if all your prayers are only centered around your own needs, you're still a baby in Christ. You need to grow up. You need to go on in the faith and see that God is not a cash machine. Prayer is not a bank card you use to get what you need when you want it. Prayer is a conversation with God. It's loving Him. It's talking to your Heavenly Father. It's coming to Him for communion so that His purposes can be done. That's why Matthew 6, 9, and 10 said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus begins to get us centered around the real purpose of prayer, that we might align ourselves with God and His purposes. It's all about His kingdom, His name being lifted up. Oh yes, later on, He then moves us on to pray for our daily bread, for forgiveness. But first He gets our priorities straight, for the kingdom of God is not built around our needs, it's built around God's needs. The great Christian writer Charles Allen said this, "Prayer is not a means by which I seek to control God. It is a means of putting myself in a position where God can control me." In other words, it's not so much about changing God, but changing me. That's why our prayers cannot be centered around our own needs based on self. We have to put Christ and His kingdom first before any other thing. Reminds me of the story of the young man who was about to graduate from his university. For many days he was excited about the gift that his wealthy father would give to him. You see, this young man had his eye on a very nice car, and he kept telling his dad, "Dad, when I graduate, I want you to buy me that car." Well, the great day came, and on the morning of his graduation, his father called him into his private office. The son was excited, expecting to get the keys to his car. The dad started talking and telling him how much he loved him, how proud he was of him, and then he gave him a beautiful wrapped gift box. Curious, the young man opened it, but what he found inside disappointed him, for there was a Bible. Oh, it was a beautiful Bible with his name on it, But the son was so disappointed, he became angry. He knew his father could afford to give him a car. He knew that his dad knew he wanted a car, but instead, his father gave him a Bible. So the young man was angry, put the Bible down, and walked out of the house. Well, eventually, the young man became successful in life. He had a big business and a nice family. He never talked to his father about that Bible. But then one day, the son received a call telling him that his father had died and left all his possessions to his son. The son went home immediately, and with great sorrow and regret, he went and picked up that Bible that his dad had given him many years before. And he started going through the pages, looking at the Bible with tears in his eyes, remembering how his dad had tried to reach him with the good news of God's love. But as he went through the Bible, suddenly something fell out from the Bible. He looked down and it was keys to a car. And it said on it, "Paid in full." The date was the date he had graduated. You see, his father had actually bought him that new car when the young man graduated and placed the key inside the Bible. But because the son wasn't interested in the Bible, he never discovered the key. And that's the way it is for many people in the world today. We seek what we want from God. We pray for our blessings, but we never bother to give a blessing back to God. Jesus said, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." We've got to lay aside our own needs and come to God to bless Him and to seek Him, to center our prayers around Him and His kingdom. That's the first secret of the secret place. Now here's the second. Build a relationship with the Father. In Matthew 6:6, Jesus said, "Pray to your Father." In other words, we have to remember that we are coming to our Heavenly Father. When we have a relationship with our Father in prayer, then prayer becomes easy. The more we know Him, the easier it is to pray. For prayer is simply a conversation. It begins with a relationship, our Father. Not our Creator, not our Provider, not our Healer. Oh, God is all of those things. But first of all, He is our Father in heaven. Why is this the place where we begin our prayers? Because God's will is for us to have a relationship with Him. Listen to Revelation 4:11. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Colossians 1:16 says, "For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him." Can you hear the Word of God today? We were created for His pleasure. So prayer is more than just asking from God. It's more than a religious ritual. It's first and foremost communing with God, the place where we present ourselves to Him to bring Him pleasure. Some people only pray when they're in trouble. Some people only pray when they have a need. But when you do that, you miss the purpose of prayer. The secret place is the place where God the Father is waiting for you to come in and commune with Him. If you rush in prayer, if you only seek your own way in prayer, then you're missing the very point. Jesus gives us this pattern of prayer so that we'll always remember that prayer is talking to our Father. Because when we know that, it changes everything. You're coming not to someone who could be bribed, not to someone who's unconcerned. You're coming to your Heavenly Father. Reminds me of the story of a president. He had a big power and a big office, and you could only reach him by going through the right protocol. You had to have an appointment. You had to stand in line and wait. But then one day, with all these official dignitaries waiting their turn, suddenly the son of the president, who was just a little boy, ran in without an appointment, jumped up on the dad's lap, and gave him a big hug. The son had access where the dignitaries did not. The son could come in without any protocol or procedures or preliminaries because he was related to the Father. And that's the meaning behind Jesus' words in Matthew 6:7-8. He said, when you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered only by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them. Your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. So many of us put our confidence in our long prayers. We think we're sure to get answers because we use big English. Or we think if we moan and cry, God will hear us. But Jesus said all that is unnecessary. Your prayers are not answered because you moan and cry. Your prayers are not answered because they were long or eloquent. Your prayers are not answered because you use English from the King James Bible when you pray. Your prayers are answered because you have a Father in heaven who loves you. He cares about you and wants to help you. Friends, if you only pray when you're in trouble, you're not building a relationship with your Father in heaven. But when you have a relationship with Him, you will pray every day. You'll pray all day long. You'll live in a state of prayer because you love God. Too many of us are just praying when we're in trouble. Reminds me of the story of a time when a bus was loading at the lorry park and many people were going from Accra to Takoradi. When it was full, a preacher stood up and said, let us pray for our journey. But immediately an old man who was mean, named Pa Kwesi, stood up and said, I'm not praying. I don't believe in God. Prayer is a waste of time. Well, the other passengers started arguing with Pa Kwesi. Everyone seemed to agree that there was a God and He does indeed answer prayer, but no one could convince Pa Kwesi. You will bring bad luck to this bus, a woman shouted. God will strike us, another said. It seemed like the quarrel would come to blows until an elderly Christian woman spoke up. It's okay, the Christian woman in the back of the bus said. God is in control. The rest of us should pray and let God have His way. So the rest of them bowed their heads and prayed, everyone except Pa Kwesi. For the first hour of the journey, Pa Kwesi took it upon himself to talk to everyone else in the bus about the foolishness of prayer. He expounded on why he didn't believe in God, why he never went to church, and why he never prayed. Some passengers tried to argue with him, but Pa Kwesi could not be convinced. There is no God, he said, or at least that's what he thought. But somewhere after Buddhaburam, the bus hit a pothole. Since they were traveling at a high speed, the driver bounced out of his seat and his hand slipped from the steering wheel. Just then, the bus headed into a curve and a big lorry was coming with speed in the other direction. The bus driver tried to correct the vehicle, but the overcorrection made the bus go off the road and into the bush. It was bouncing along and suddenly a tire blew and the driver lost control. Everyone was screaming and suddenly Pa Kwesi shouted, "Oh God, save us! Oh God, save us!" Finally, the bus landed in a ditch. All the passengers climbed out. By the miraculous grace of God, no one was injured. Then the old Christian woman spoke up. Pa Kwesi, she said, I thought you said you didn't believe in God. But when the bus was out of control and you thought you were going to die, I heard you shout, "Oh God, save us!" So you prayed to the God you didn't believe in. And the God you didn't believe in has rescued all of us from death. Now let us bow our heads and pray to thank Him. And so they all bowed their heads to pray, to thank God for rescuing them. And the one praying the loudest was Pa Kwesi. I love the quote from that great Christian woman, Corrie ten Boom. She asks us, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? In other words, is prayer something you just use when you need it, like a spare tire? Or is it the driving force behind your life? When things are good, when things are bad, you pray all the time. See, friend, if you trust in administration, you'll get what administration can do. If you trust in hard work, you'll get what hard work can do. If you trust in your personality and your abilities, you'll get what they can do. But if you trust in God through prayer, you'll get what God can do through the powerful results of prayer. Listen to this. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? That's in Matthew 7, 9 to 11. Jesus said, how much more will your heavenly Father do for you? more than the best earthly father, more than what your abilities can do, more than any patron or any rich uncle. As a son and a daughter of God, he will do more. Listen to Galatians 4:7. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Friend, God has made you an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Because of that, you can get powerful results when you pray. And that brings us to our third secret of the secret place. And that's this. Secret number three, expect results. Jesus said it plainly in Matthew 6:6. Your Father, who knows all secrets, will reward you. This is a promise from Jesus Christ himself. God will hear your prayer. He will answer your prayer. He will show you powerful results. See, once you've developed a righteous motive, and once you've come into relationship with your Father in heaven, then there's nothing that God cannot and will not do for you. You can be confident in the power of the Almighty to give you powerful results when you pray. Matthew 7:7-8, Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. If we wanted to tell testimonies of the results that come from prayer, we wouldn't leave the television today. There are not enough books in the whole world to tell of all the great things God has done. The Bible itself is full of answers to prayer. And your life can be too. God wants to answer your prayers as much as he does anyone else's prayers anywhere. Sometimes we need to remember to write down and record the answers. That's what a man named George Mueller did. One day, George Mueller looked at the streets of Bristol, England, where he lived. He saw hundreds of homeless children and orphans. He was so moved, he knew he had to do something to help them in the name of the Lord. He only had about 10 pesewa in his pocket. But nevertheless, by faith, he decided to start an orphanage. And over his life, George Mueller took care of 10,000 orphan children. He could have said, but I don't have any money. He could have said, but I'm only one man. But instead he said, I believe that powerful results await when we pray. And God blessed him in a mighty way. God answered his prayers. George Mueller kept a record of those prayers, and his prayer records filled more than 3,000 pages. His notes show that he had in his life more than 30,000 answers to prayer. That's what God wants to do for you as well. For Jesus said in John 14:13, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so the Son may bring glory to the Father. It all begins in the secret place, with right motives, right relationship, that brings the right results you can expect and depend upon. Over the next few weeks here at Revelation, we're going to be teaching all about prayer. And I believe as you follow along with me, as you rededicate yourself to loving God, to knowing Him, and to believing Him, you are going to see powerful results in prayer. For God blesses those who come to Him in the secret place with the right motive, who come in relationship to Him, who come expecting results. You too can become a mighty prayer warrior. You too can see great things happen, for powerful results await you when you pray. May God richly bless you to become not only a hearer, but a doer of the Word of God.
Praise the Lord. Our time on Revelation with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb has come to an end. But we are not done with the truth in this episode. Tune in again next week at this time on this same channel to hear the truth taught from God's Word by Pastor Whitcomb. We have more on the topic taught today and many others on our website, so go to www.revrcw.com, that is www.revrcw.com, to download the lesson notes for today's sermon. You'll also find a wealth of several messages on video and on audio that would help you to live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. On our website, you can also find how you can connect with Pastor Whitcomb on Facebook and on Twitter. You can also send us your prayer requests and any other information that you would like to share with us. If the teaching ministry of Pastor Whitcomb has impacted you and you would like to continue to receive his ministry in person, then I would like to invite you to worship with us at Agape House New Testament Church. Agape House is located at Agape Land in East Lagos. Here's more information about Agape House.
Are you looking for a church where the presence of God fills every service? Are you searching for a church where you can grow in your faith through anointed preaching of God's Word? Are you longing for a family? Are you longing for a church family that would love and accept you just as you are, while helping you to become all God wants you to be? Your search is over. Come to Agape House New Testament Church this weekend and experience a powerful touch from the Lord. We invite you to join us at the Saturday night church from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. or in worship on Sunday morning at 8 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. Agape House is located at Agape Lawn near ANC Square in East Lagos, or visit www.agapehouseghana.org. Or to get directions, call 0541-003878 for assistance with directions. Agape House New Testament Church, glorifying God, transforming lives.
This program is brought to you by Revelation Media Ministry through the generous support of our partners. Watch Revelation with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb each week at this same time on this station. For more inspiration, visit our website at www.revrcw.com.